Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is entitled Wipeout: How to Survive Life's Four Big Tests, Part 2, Immorality, the Infidelity in Us. Whereas test number one exposes any remaining idolatry in our hearts, test number two searches our hearts to ferret out any moral infidelity so that we can confess that to the Lord and be set free. Balaam was a false prophet whom King Balak hired to speak curses over the nation of Israel as they marched through the wilderness headed for Canaan. God forbade him from doing so, and much to King Balak's horror, he spoke blessings and some amazing prophecies over God's chosen people instead. We learn from this true story that the devil has no power to curse those whom God has blessed. Numbers 23:23 records these words, "For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done." That's the New King James Version. However, this evil man devised a devilish alternate plan for bringing destruction to Israel by inciting them to sin, which incurred God's judgment. He and Balak sent idol-worshipping Midianite women to lure Israel men into sexual immorality and idolatry. This rebellious infidelity to God brought down God's judgment upon the entire nation. Numbers 25:1-3 reads, "Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel." New King James Version. Since Balaam had not been able to curse Israel, he lured God's people into bringing God's judgment upon themselves. As Moses and those who remained faithful to God considered what to do, one of the sons of an important clan leader blatantly sinned in full view of the camp, taking a foreign woman into his tent. Numbers 25:6 records this incident. "Just then, one of the Israelite men brought a Midianite woman into his tent right before their eyes of Moses and all the people, as everyone was weeping at the entrance of the tabernacle." New Living Translation. Phinehas, Aaron's grandson, took action and drove a spear through both the offending man and the woman, stopping God's plague of judgment from going any further. In today's morally lax and tolerant world, this sort of behavior seems very strange indeed and even reprehensible. But the Bible praises Phinehas for this display of devotion to the Lord and his holiness. We learn from this something about the utmost seriousness of sin, especially immorality and idolatry. Sin should never be taken lightly. It is what nailed our Lord Jesus to the cross. Nevertheless, the plague from God killed 24,000 Israelites before it was stopped. This can be found in Numbers 25:1-17, if you wish to read the entire story. Balaam's strategy came from Satan and is still operational today. Satan cannot curse God's people, so he tempts us to sin against God, which always brings negative consequences. Mankind betrayed God in the Garden of Eden, choosing to go his own way instead of God's. Sinful infidelity, called the flesh, lurks in the human heart ever since, making us susceptible to temptation, to sexual immorality. In order to incite us to lust, we are bombarded with graphic sexual images on the internet, TV, the movies, and in other forms of media. Modern culture has largely acquiesced by declaring that sexual transgressions are not really wrong after all. Young people are taught that having sex outside of marriage is normal and natural. They're encouraged and expected to engage in such activity. The availability of birth control and easy abortions provides a way for people to avoid the natural consequences associated with this sort of sin. Modern medicine has even made STDs less scary. Nevertheless, one can never truly escape the consequences of sin. Indelible marks are left on our souls and sometimes our bodies, which only the blood of Jesus can cleanse and heal. God's commandments always have our best interests in mind, and we violate them at our own peril. Ultimately, we will all give an account to Jesus at the last judgment for how we lived and obeyed him. Sexual sin can rob us of heavenly reward and also brings destruction into our lives in the present. It tries to fill our thoughts, thus distracting us from the one thing that should consume us, our love for and devotion to the Lord. Paul told Timothy, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20 in the New King James Version. Families and lives are ruined by sexual transgressions. We reap what we sow. Solomon warned of the dangers associated with failing the test of sexual immorality. I read from Proverbs 7:24 through 27. "Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her, the strange woman's ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." That's the New King James Version. Ironically, this wise man horribly failed this test. We should not imagine that we are somehow immune to the power of this temptation. Many otherwise strong people have succumbed. Emotional bonds are formed outside of the marriage covenant through having sex, and scars are left when these relationships are broken. This is serious stuff. God will not be mocked. Sin has consequences, and all of them are bad. Galatians 6:7. Jude warned us that even some who profess to be followers of Christ will go off the path and try to take others with them. Many who claim to be Christ's followers today have fallen for the lie that God does not really care that much about moral holiness. Jude 1:4 says, "I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives." The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. That's the New Living Translation. God's mercy and grace should never be used as an excuse to indulge in sexual immorality. Even though I am convinced that the Lord will not take away our eternal relationship with Him if we sin, we should nevertheless fear the discipline of the Lord. He is not playing games when it comes to this test and will do whatever He sees fit to bring us to repentance and set us free. Wise people, do not test the limits of God's patience. Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." New King James Version. Why not rather heed God's admonitions and flee immorality? 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." God will reward us for resisting temptations to immorality. We can only do this by what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit, by relying on the combination of a proper fear of the Lord and the grace of God. With God's help, we can do this. You can read more about this walking in the Spirit by going to my website, where I have a whole section on life in the Spirit. Application. If you have been flirting with or engaging in sexual immorality, or if you've been listening to arguments and reasoning that says it's no big deal, beware. This is the second of the four big wipeout tests. I encourage all of us to recommit ourselves to setting apart our bodies and hearts for the Lord. Resist sexual temptation and stay away from opportunities to sin. It may be helpful to you to become accountable to some trustworthy, loving person who can assist you to keep your commitments to the Lord. Don't throw away your heavenly reward for temporary pleasure. Pass the second test by standing strong against sexual temptation. And I close by reading Hebrews 12:15-17 from the English Standard Version. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up causing trouble, and by it many be defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.